In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we celebrate the Apostles Peter and Paul today. And what is it that defines the ministry of the Apostles? The two Gospels show us. The first Gospel I want to speak about shortly and briefly is the one today, because I think the Matinal Gospel is much more powerful for our needs. But today, many people were thinking many things about Jesus, but Peter knew who he was. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The life of the apostles is built upon the bedrock of their confession of faith. To believe that Jesus is the Christ entails following his commandments, because belief is not just a static thing, not just saying that we believe in a fact. It is dedicating ourselves. If we believe that Jesus is God, then we should obey him. And the apostles, their ministry was grounded in this fact. And even while others were saying all kinds of things, it might be Elias, Jeremiah, a prophet, John the Baptist, Peter knew. And so the Lord said this famous part of the scriptures where he says, "Thou art Simon, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." The rock is the confession of Christ. Now in our day and age, especially in the West, the idea of confession of Christ is just belief. No, it is living according to the commandments, because Jesus is God and because he is reliable and he showed us the way, and it is the only way to life. So that is the first aspect of the apostles, and it should be of us and of all the saints. It, of course, it was the confession of Christ, to believe that Jesus is God correctly in every way. That means according to the creed, according to the seven ecumenical councils, according to the universal witness of the church, who Jesus is. That's why it's so important to know who he is. That's why it's so important that in our services, over and over and over again, we speak dogmatically of the nature of God and of the nature of Christ, the two natures of Christ, and of what his resurrection entails, and how he was a man, and how he was God. All these things are gone over and over again in our services. And that's the reason. Because without knowing Christ, we can know nothing. Now, what is the application of this knowledge? It is what happened in the first gospel, that is, the gospel for Matins last night. It happens to also be a resurrectional gospel, one of the 11 of the cycle, and one of my favorites. It's truly breathtaking in its scope. So the Lord has appeared on the shore. The apostles have seen him. Peter is so excited to see him, he throws his fisher's cloak on him and he swims to shore. And the Lord, then the apostles follow, dragging full the net of fishes, 153. And yet the net was not broken. We could speak about that for a long time. Very meaningful. Because the apostles were prepared for their ministry by the 3 years. Remember that before, 3 years ago, when they caught the fish, their nets broke. But after seasoning with the Lord, after learning of his ways, and taking his yoke upon them, they were ready. So they could truly be fishers of men. And those 153 fish, they include us. Okay? That's all of humanity, because the apostles, their sound had gone forth into all the world. So, we are part of those fish. But this is the prelude. Then Peter is on the shore with the apostles, and they've eaten. And then the Lord says to Simon, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And he asks him, "Do you love me with a love that is above all things? Do you love me as only you can love God?" The word that he uses for love, it leaves no room for anything else. It is the love of God and the love for God. Now, in Greek, there are three words for love. So Simon, only a few days before, remember, had rejected the Lord, right? He had denied Him three times. So he felt still shaky in his faith. He felt guilty. How would you feel, huh? We feel guilty, right? We feel a sense of unworthiness. So he says to the Lord, unsure of himself, he says, I love you. But he said, I love you with a different word. I love you deeply, sincerely, as a friend, as a brother. And that's not how we should love God. But the Lord said afterwards, feed my sheep. And then he said the same question again, identically. And identically Peter answered it again. And the Lord said, feed my lambs. Now the third time the Lord wants to teach Simon something, and us too. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me as a brother? Do you love me as a friend? Do you have great affection towards me? He didn't say, do you love me as you would love God? He used the same word for love that Simon had used those previous two times. So the gospel says Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me as a friend, as a brother, but not as God? And Simon said, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Now, it is interesting to me also that at this point, Simon still uses the same word. I love you as a brother. But we know from his life that he loved him as one would love God. Because we see the fruit of his life. The struggles that he went through. He was crucified for our Lord. We can see it in his epistles, which have a striking clarity about the love of God and a peacefulness about them that can only be from someone who loves God with the whole heart. But at that moment, Simon was still being prepared by the Lord. In time, he would show that he truly loved the Lord as one should love God. What does this little vignette teach us? It teaches us that the apostles were called to love the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, just as we are. They weren't really called any really differently than we are. The extent of their ministry is different, but the base of their ministry, the reason for their ministry, it's the same as ours. Because they're responsible for the same commandments as we are. And they know the same God we know. But they loved the Lord with such power that it obliterated everything else. And look at what they went through. The Apostle Paul gives a recounting of some of the things that happened to him. He was beaten with 40 stripes, save one, 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times, shipwrecked 3 times. A day and a night he was in the water. Many other things. Over and over again. Hunger and thirst and nakedness and wondering what would happen the next day. And fear. And all the other gamut of human emotions that happen when we have very difficult trials that we go through. The same for the Apostle Paul, for the Apostle Peter, for John, James, all the rest of them. Because of their love for God. This is what we are called to do. To love God such that we will feed the sheep. The Lord talks a lot about love for Himself, to love God. But He mostly talks about how we should love our neighbor. If you read the Gospels, they are mostly about how we should relate to other human beings. Why would this be? Well, St. John makes it very clear. If we say we love God, whom we have not seen, and we don't love our brother, whom we have seen, we are a liar, and the truth of God is not within us. So, if we are Christians, we will love the brethren. And the brethren are everyone. Remember the parable about who is my neighbor? Everybody's your neighbor. The mean ones, the kind ones, the honest ones, the thieves, the cruel, those who are good to you, those who are evil towards you, those who speak badly of you, those who praise you, those who would give you back something of what you've done for them, those who would spit in your face and take more besides, all of those are the sheep. And that's what we are called to do. You know, there's many things, especially in our society, we seem to be a society that's created weaknesses, created passions. People have passions for television or smoking or video games, or there's 150 other things that we can become addicted to that many of our brethren from the earlier age, they didn't have those things at all, right? I mean, there are still things you could be addicted to for sure, but we have so many things in our society, and it's very hard for us to pray and for us to be attentive. And yes, we should pray and be attentive, but here is the most important thing you should do. I've told you many times, if you cannot stop sinning, at least be kind. Love your brethren. That's the most important thing. It's more important to love your brethren, and that's everybody, rather than it is to pray or to fast. Because if we love the brethren, then we are showing love for God. Now, we should pray and fast, of course. But if we only pray and fast and do not love the brethren, we will not be saved. It will not happen. So let us emulate the apostles, brothers and sisters. Let us first confess Christ. That doesn't mean just saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. That means living according to who He is and what He taught. And let us, above all things, love Him, so that we would, above all things, consider it our life's mission to feed the lambs and feed the sheep. May God grant us this blessed ministry.